So two people went up to church to pray. One spent the whole time looking around at the other people there, thinking, thank God I'm not like that person. They hardly ever come to church. I'm here nearly every Sunday. Or that person? They don't do much volunteer work, but I'm out helping others in the community all the time. Or that person? I give generously to church and charity, but even though they clearly have a lot of money, I don't think they give much of it all. Or that person? They hold all the wrong political views. Thank God I know better. The other focused on the altar and the cross, praying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Which one do you think went home made right with God? You know, last week, Gavin, in his sermon, talked about the preaching process. Well, let me tell you about the challenge of preaching a parable like this without becoming the Pharisee. It's a real challenge, isn't it? Because, after all, preacher's called to be prophetic, to point out what needs changing in the congregation, in our society. We can't do that without noticing, without paying attention to where we fall short, right? But the question is, what's our own attitude about ourselves when we're doing that, right? My preaching professor in seminary, Fred Craddock, warned his preaching students, and I have carried this warning with me all through my ministry. When you're preaching, be careful where you identify in the story. Don't be the hero. Be careful not to think that you're Jesus. Pay attention to where you identify. You stand with the sinners. One of my favorite prayers in the prayer book is the Collect for Purity. And it is right after that opening salutation in our bulletin. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. I come to church each Sunday, and I love to have that prayer in the service because I pray it for me. I pray it for me. Acknowledging right at the beginning of things, God, you see me. You know me. You know all about me. There ain't no secrets here. Cleanse me. Help me to magnify your name, because I stand with the sinners. And don't let me forget it. You know, during the pandemic, on a stormy day like today, I showed up at church one day, and because it was bucketing rain, I was wearing my parka. You know, and I think I might actually have been in jeans that day, wearing a parka with a hood up. And I was wearing my mask because it was a pandemic and I was heading into a building, right? Well, Kurt was in the parking lot. I don't know if you remember this, Kurt, but you turned to me and said, can I help you? I was so covered up that he didn't recognize me. I think Sometimes when we show up before God, our real selves are so covered up that it's amazing that God knows who we are. It's a very human temptation to try to present an appealing image of ourselves to others, even if it means hiding our true selves. And so we become like the man in the parable today who points at others and says, "Thank God I'm not like them." Somehow, I don't think that when the Bible calls us to thank God at all times, that's the kind of thanksgiving that is meant. No, what we are invited to in our stance before God is to see God as the mirror before we whom we stand naked, stripped of all the layers we hide behind. Even the layers of defense that we use to avoid seeing the truth about ourselves. Our selfishness. Our own failure, and here I speak to myself, to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly, even as I am called to tell the congregation that we need to do these things. I always have to be looking at myself and say, "All right, God, in your mirror, where am I not living up to what I preach to others?" We're called to recognize in that mirror the unkind remarks about others that we make behind their backs. Our addictions, whatever they may be. Our deep down conviction that we really are better people than others whom we could name. But we're also called to see the image we present to others that everything is okay, that we don't struggle. We're called to recognize the masks we keep in place to cover our scabs, our scars, our hidden internal wounds. God is the mirror who shows us all those things if we will only let God do it. As we might hear from that British sitcom, Keeping Up Appearances, God helps us to mind the gap between who we present ourselves as being and who we really are. God calls us to mind that gap. And it can be hard to face what we see in the mirror of God's truth. We want to look away or cover ourselves up again with our carefully constructed self-image. We want to point out someone else who's uglier than we are. We want to turn off the light or just run away. But if we lay aside our defenses and do the hard work of facing ourselves honestly, we have to admit that we are sinners, broken and wounded and failing to do as God commands, falling far short of what God's will for us. No matter what other people in the world are doing, if we start with us, we can see we got some issues. And we come to understand that God doesn't grade on the curve. If we haven't bombed the test as badly as most of the other students in the class, that does not mean that we have earned a passing grade. We all get Fs. We're still far from what God created us to be. And when we really see ourselves as we are, we know our need for God's mercy and God's healing. But that doesn't mean that we're dirt. That doesn't mean that we have to grovel That's not why God invites us to stand in front of that mirror that shows us ourselves. No, God's intent is not to shame us, but to help us see ourselves as we really are, so that we can begin to change. When we have begun to see ourselves honestly, God shows us Jesus in that mirror, invites us to look at Jesus. God clothes us in Jesus so that when God looks at us, that's the truth that God sees, the image of Christ. Jesus is the new truth about ourselves. God is at work in us to wash away our dirt and heal our wounds and make us a new creation. Because behold, God is making all things new. And that means us too. God is at work to change us into the image of Jesus, not simply as a layer we put on, but as the deepest truth about ourselves. And so when we stand in front of that mirror and we ask God for mercy, it is always God's joy to pour out mercy like the oil that flows down and soothes the pain and the wounds and the parts of ourselves that it's really hard to look at. God invites us to let God's unimaginable love fill us and flow through us, to meet us where we are, but not leave us as we are, to transform us from the inside out. At Grist for the Mill this week, Michael Rohn, who's a regular there, shared a parable that I'd like to close with. He said, one day, a holy man was in a garden praying. And while he was praying, this young woman ran through. I mean, just pell-mell, ran through. And he was deeply offended that she wasn't paying attention and noticing that he was praying, thank you very much. And here she was, creating all this disturbance, running through while he was praying. After a while, she came back through, going the other direction. And he called her over. Young woman, didn't you notice that I was praying when you came through here? How could you be so rude as to disturb my prayer? She replied, well, sir, I was on my way to meet with my love. And I was so excited to see him. I wasn't thinking about anything else. I didn't even notice you. If you were talking with your love, how is it that you noticed me?